You something that I said to the Portland Startup Weekend about a year and a half ago that we are arguing at cross purposes here. I want to ask you why government even exists. What the argument is the structure of the government, for example, land uses and zoning and so on. Because some of my ancestors were some of the earliest settlers in what at the time were the British colonies in the New World, a great uncle of mine by the name of Roger Sherman was the fourth of the five and so first and so most honored signers of the Declaration of Independence. On the back of the commemorative $2 bill from 1976, he's the tall guy with the tall forehead, fourth from the right. On my paternal grandfather's side, General George B. McClellan of Clan Donald in Scotland gives me the right to wear a blue Clan Donald tart. He was the general-in-chief of the Union Army of the North at the outbreak of the Civil War, shared with me an intense hard work and attention to detail that I believe he shared with what I have now, obsessive-compulsive personality disorder. That makes me really good at the work I do with computers. But he found himself strangely unable to murder his own brother, so they replaced him with another uncle of mine from my maternal grandmother's side, William Tecumseh Sherman, who was just a maniac, and he just murdered everybody in his path. Mental illness is endemic throughout the human race and throughout human history and is quite common among many forms of animal life, such as cats and dogs. It's not going away. In my own case, I do the worst if I don't get enough sleep. I'm working on a business idea. It doesn't matter what that is, but if you want to learn more about my mental illness, I discuss it at my business website, warplife.com, warplife.com. There's a big yellow box at the top. It's living with schizoaffective disorder, my deepest fear. If I don't get enough sleep, I hallucinate vividly. If I go a little while without enough sleep at all, I can't see where I'm going when I walk. If I go a little more, I enter a completely altered state of reality, and I am unaware that I am not hallucinating. This was approaching about a week and a half ago. I realized it was getting to be a problem, so I dialed 911 on my own, told them it was not an emergency. I could have walked to the hospital if I knew where it is. They gave me one single Ativan pill and let me get 6 hours to sleep and set me just right. But had I continued to try to sleep on the street, out in the rain, in the cold, a side effect of the medicine I take for my psychosis called psychogenic polydipsia or thirst of the mind, I have to urinate quite a lot, so I need to find a place where I can urinate without getting arrested. During the night, in order to avoid taking up a bed that somebody could use who doesn't have the choices that I do, I sleep during the day at R2-D2. They have a porta potty there, and I do just fine. And I work at night on this business idea, for the most part, actually in the Pearl District. Powell's, just across Coot Street, there's a Starbucks that, of all the batshit crazy things, serves craft beer, fine French wine, and Parmesan-encrusted chicken skewers.
Do need you to close soon.
Okay. Go in either the parking garage or the front door at Starbucks and out the back door. Go get yourself anything at the Starbucks and then walk eastward, I think, down Coot Street, or more or less go north and then east towards the Willamette River. There are a whole bunch of places in the Pearl District that even if I had gotten my much-desired job of working as a mobile developer since I moved here 3 years ago, I couldn't even set foot in there, even with a good salary. But it's not hard at all to drop my name into any internet search engine to find essays such as...
I need you to wrap up because we got to let other people speak.
Right. I wrote an essay, and I have a lot of essays like this. I'm a mad passionate writer called Every Engineer's Solemn Duty. I regard the vast majority of my colleagues as total slackers.
Could you send that to us?
Sure, I will. It makes it hard to get a job, which results in my homelessness. I'm not asking for one thin dime. I can start a good business and I can employ other people, provided I have a place to sleep where I can urinate several times during the night and I'm not rained on. Everything else is handled. Thank you.
Thank you. Well said.
Hi, my name is Diane Riley, and I think tonight there's been a lot of testimony that could evoke some sympathy, maybe some empathy for each other. I have a lot of empathy for you guys because you have a tough job. I have been kind of shocked actually by some of the testimony that's been shared tonight. I know that people are not always connected to other people's experiences. I know that, we all focus on our own financial struggles and tend to not pay attention to other people's financial struggles. But I think that the takeaway for me is that I want to follow the leadership of people who care. You know, I want to be with people who are caring. And Right to Dream 2 is an organization that organically, almost it feels like magically, Portland has been blessed with. They are building community. They're helping each other. And they are providing an amazing example for all of the rest of us as well. I don't want to follow the leadership of people who are so focused on the bottom line that they can't care. And so basically, I would urge you to help us as a city push through the rigmarole of the zoning, the codes, the all the excuses, I think they are excuses for not dealing with this problem. It's not like we that homelessness just popped up. I'm old enough, I was born in 1962, to remember a time when there wasn't as much homelessness, right? And we don't have to live like this, but we are. And I'm excited about people who are able to grapple with the reality of dealing with this issue and coming up with solutions. And I'm really excited to follow the leadership of Right to Dream 2. And I urge you to do the same.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Hi. Good evening. Mike Withy. I would just like to tell you guys up there that I think you're all very brave. I think you're caught in the middle of a very delicate and controversial emotional issue that is so important that people are dying out on the street. They're getting raped. We know that. We know that the crime statistics don't really count the crime on the homeless. But what Right to Dream 2 has caused is saving lives, uncountable lives and robberies and rapes that would have happened out on the street. I've heard a lot about money. Right to Dream 2 doesn't cost us any money. What it does is it saves us money. It's saved us millions of dollars of folks that would have ended up in the hospital or ended up in prison or state institution. You can see that they deal with a lot of mental health issues. We don't have the places for those the folks to go, so they are at Right to Dream 2. They save us millions. But on a human scale, they've done more than any of the other services that we hire to do. So the only thing that I'm kind of pissed off about Right to Dream 2 is that there's not more.
Yeah.
There should be more. But I would like to commend you, Mayor, especially you, because I've noticed what you've done over the last couple months. You've pretty much ignited a fire that's going to have to be put out. So for that, I commend you.
Thank you. Next three, please, or four, please.
Diana Rempe, John White, Art Rios Sr., Jess Heeman, Renee Stevens, Steve Entwistle, Jane. Sorry.
Okay, I got four.
My name in the last round, I just didn't call it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay. Okay, can you hang on just a little longer and we can bring you up on the next four? Is that okay? All right. Thanks. Go ahead.
I'm Stephen Entwistle. I've born here in Portland. On October 28th, it'll be 54 years that I've lived in Portland. And I was born about 3 miles in North Portland at Kaiser Hospital. Anyway, in 1979, I graduated in 77. If you would have told me that this was going to be like it is today, back then, I would have called you all a liar. Okay? But this is the situation that we have. First of all, I want to thank and commend the commitment and the compassion of Ibrahim Mubarak that has done the work that nobody else could do. Period. And if you were to say that, like the one gentleman said, there was class warfare that we're having a humanitarian help underneath, trying to help people survive the winter. You know, I'd say, well, what about the 30 years of Reaganomics that absolutely devastated this country, and especially here in Portland, we're hit first and the worst. And we are the last ones to recover from any kind of a recession. This is not a recession. This is a depression. Okay? And as far as class warfare goes, yeah, we've been hit with class warfare for 30 years. Okay? I mean, this is just, anyway, that speaks for itself. And the 10-year the 10-year plan, it's really interesting that all of a sudden everybody wants to fix it right now, okay? Because we got all this excitement, which is good. I mean, I hope we can, you know. And as far as the rest areas, okay, on Fourth Avenue, I think we should have both. Okay, I don't think they should move. I think we should have, because I'll tell you what, I have a prediction. I have a prediction that we're going to have a really bad winter this year. Really bad. Okay, we're going to need as many places for people to sleep as possible. And R2-D2 saves lives. I couldn't imagine how many people would have died if it wasn't for R2-D2 being in place. And by the way, where's Fish?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Let me just say one more thing.
Wrap up.
Being homeless is like being in a swimming pool. Either you're in or you're out of it. Okay, so it's people that are out of homelessness, telling people that are homeless what to do and how to be and such is not right. Because your mother, if you're against R2-D2, then you're against your mother, your sister, your little brother, that are all without shelter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jess Heeman. I manage a restaurant near the current location of Right to Dream 2, and have had the opportunity to meet some of the honest, compassionate, and resourceful people who run operations there. I've heard a lot of talk this evening, supposedly about zoning codes and legal process. Everyone in this room knows, however, that all of this jargon is meant to veil an ideological and moral debate. I'm here to support R2-D2, and so you know where my ideology stands. Instead, I want to address reality. The reality is that many more people are living on the streets today than there are spaces available at local resources such as Bud Clark Commons. This is not debatable. This is fact, a matter of simple mathematics like 1 and 1 is 2. While the city has allocated resources and done a lot of work to provide more affordable and transitional housing, the fact remains that demand exceeds supply. Pearl Association representatives earlier tonight, in a letter to the mayor from the chair of the Owners Association for Park Place, suggested that everyone should move to Bud Clark or perhaps another building. To this I say yes, by all means, let's build a building, let's build many buildings. But I also know there are finite resources, and the city has a duty to balance the budget. While R2D2 is not a permanent solution to homelessness in Portland, it is helping. They help keep our streets safe, keep the residents of the rest area safer and drier as we move into these winter months. And best yet, it's free. The chair for Park Place, David Loctig, even pointed out in his letter to the mayor that Bud Clark Commons cost the city $47 million, and in his words, R2D2 cost the city nearly no cost. And let's not forget another reality. We are not talking about a business venture. We are talking about people. Shutting down R2D2 will not prevent people, houseless people, from living on Pearl District streets. You cannot ignore or remove this problem. I support R2D2 because they run a tight ship. They have policies and procedures to keep their space clean, a sanitation contract, and security volunteers. I have purposely chosen to walk their direction when I leave my late night shifts because I know it is a safer route. To the argument that the R2D2 does not follow zoning laws, of course there are no specific zoning laws that fit the situation precisely, for this is an unprecedented situation. Laws and policies exist to support beneficial ends. Let's not hold these laws above their purpose. To the argument that businesses lose money based on proximity to the rest area, no one here tonight has presented sound evidence that such a correlation exists. Without interviewing former customers on the rationale, there's no way to know for sure. Again, while R2D2 is not a perfect solution, no one else has presented a better solution. For now, it's the best idea we've all got. To end my statement, I'd like to remind everyone of a major occurrence in the country this week. Like Ibrahim said earlier, 800,000 federal employees went home without work and without pay this week. In this precarious place where the future of so many employees is uncertain, many more of us may be relying on organizations like R2D2 in the future. It would be unwise to take them for granted.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Art Rio Sr., and like I normally do, can you rise for a moment of silence for the homeless that may die tonight on the street? A moment of silence. Thank you. So, once again, Art Rio Sr., and like before, I do this every time that I come, because you know a homeless person may die every night. We know that. And I keep hearing about this Bud Clark Commons. On the homeless community, we know it as Blood Clark Commons. The eighth floor is known as the morgue. Death Valley, whatever you want to call it. Okay. Has there been any deaths at Right to Dream 2? None. None at all. So I wanted to come up here, and I knew what I wanted to say and who I was going to support, but I have to look at it this way. I have to support every group. The Pearl District, thank you. Thank you for coming out and realizing that you have compassion and you're a human being to your own folks in your neighborhood. To Right to Dream 2, Ibrahim Mubarak, to have compassion and dignity to be here to speak to folks today. And to you three, because there was a conversation that a group of us got together right around the beginning of Right to Dream 2, and we came in and we talked to Dan Saltzman. And we were talking about the humanity of people and their lives. He said this was not about a humanity meeting. Then why were we there? Why were we there the first time? I've sat outside for three different mayors and protested. You're the only mayor that I have not protested against just yet. It's coming. I'm just letting you know. It's coming, and I have a big support in many different ways. If I can put 310 people around here and get them to sign the same agreement that Right to Dream 2 has upgraded from what I wrote before and get people to sign, who says I can't put 2,000 people out here? You know? I'm not saying the Pearl District is a good place for them, because once again, you're under a bridge, you're not seen, you're not heard. To me, it sounds like the Billy Goat Gruff. Every time these people are going to come up from under the bridge, the first one is already homelessness. They're going to get knocked down. The second one is drug addiction. They're going to get knocked down. The third one, the money that they keep talking about, is going to keep knocking them down. So why put them under the bridge? Leave them where they're at. I like the ideal from Williams and Dam, I think that's their name. Build them a building Let that community help them. Let them stay where they're at. Let people know that you do care. But don't put them under a bridge. It's bull, and you know it.
Thank you. Thanks. Welcome. My name is Renee Stevens. You know that. I want to raise the consciousness of this discussion. I'm with the Pay It Forward Leadership Society. I'm with the Pay It Forward.
Sorry, it's a weird microphone. Just sure stay a little is. Farther away from it. There you go. That's better. That's a less weird microphone.
I'm with the Pay It Forward Leadership Society. And I'm not sure if everybody knows, but what we're trying to do is we're trying to create something. We're trying to build a new society, basically. And the reason why we're doing that is because we have lost our focus. We have lost our meaning as a human culture, as a race of beings. Somewhere along the line, money has become more important than life. And this is a travesty, because life is what connects everybody. You are living beings. I know you know that. And you know that you wouldn't want to be out on the street like these people. You wouldn't want your loved ones or your family members or your friends to do the same either. These people are looking for someone to care for them, someone to help them. And that's what should be important. But the conversation continues to come up about money. And money is not what should matter here. Life is the only reason why we should be running society. And we should actually make a conscious decision to make that the goal. Not owning things. Not making money. Ownership, nobody actually owns anything. It's an ideological, it's a wholly manufactured ideological construct that we're imposing on each other. For what purpose? It's not helping anybody. It's actually hurting people. We're not developing in a balanced manner. And that's why we need to start thinking in terms of life and people. How do we help them? How do we optimize life for everybody? For not just human beings, but all the life on the planet. The planet itself is a living being. It's an organism with its own consciousness. And she's not really happy with us as a race of beings. I can tell you that right now. We're all cells living here on this planet. We're cells. We're part of her body. And right now, we are acting like a cancer when we are continuing to disregard life. These people, they're not things. They're living beings. They're not garbage. You can't treat them like this. I don't believe that there should be a camp over there on Burnside and Forth. I believe that every single person living in that camp should have a home, because there are vacant homes. It's very possible for us to create a society where we're cooperating and working together to create an abundance that we can all pull from at will. We do not need leveraged economic transactions. We need at will economic transactions, genuine transactions. We need people to help each other, at will. And they would do that if we could stop this whole non-existent idea. It's just an ideology.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not done.
Well, you need to wrap up, because we have other people
that.
Who need to speak.
I realize that. People need to stop being so concerned with what they have. You will realize that, and I think that there's a general misconception, that happy and healthy people are lazy. Happy and healthy people, if we strive to create happy and healthy people, we will have more productive members of society, more hands to help. We would. Have you ever heard of the term or the phrase "many hands make light work"? That is true.
Very true. Thank
you. So these people, let these people be, for now. But the ultimate solution is to actually get rid of the money. That's the problem. That is the problem. Okay. And I'm coming to you as a very serious person. You know my struggles. I've come to you many times, and I still haven't heard back. Okay?
I need you to close.
I realize that.
So there are people here that need to speak.
Okay. Listen, I'm just putting it out there, and I'm just not just putting it out there to you. I'm putting it out there to every global citizen on this planet, every human being, every living being. Let us put away the monopoly game, okay? We see that the 1% is already won. That's great. Pat them on their backs, whatever. Let them have the prize. What we need to do is move to a more responsible model of society, which includes taking care of every single life on this planet.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Next is Jordan Benning, Mark Lampson, Jonathan Cobb, and Judith Beck.
Hi, good evening. Go ahead. It'll come on. We have the quirkiest sound system of any place you'll be, so just bear with us.
It happens. There it is. So my name is Jordan Benning, and I'm also pissed off. Bear with me. I'm going to attempt to not lose my temper.
Please.
I've had meetings here in this building to discuss the houseless community, to discuss the City Hall vigil up front, and what was returned was absolutely nothing. The meetings that I had with people were for solutions so we could just live together. I slept in front of this building last year, and I'm not ever going to forget that. I'm not going to forget the police brutality and harassment, and I'm not going to forget the harassment from the people alone in this building. To try and find solutions, you wouldn't even allow pallets for people to get off of the freezing sidewalk, and that bothers me. And note that there are creative minds in this city that have been actively trying to work on the houselessness issue as a whole together. But nobody cared to listen. Nobody cared to listen to the people that have spent over 100 days in front of this building. This is class war. A doctor was brought up earlier who deserved the American dream. The houseless community at least deserves the right to shelter and safety, and R2-D2 does that. Parking lot. Oh, my investments. Screw your parking lot and screw your investments. I do not care about no parking lot, and I don't care if anybody decides whether or not that they want to put $50 million into a new hotel. That disturbs me and boils my blood. The fact that you don't want to lose a parking lot when people are losing their lives every single day. There are estimated 37,000 homeless people that die per year in the United States. There is not even enough homeless people in the United States to feel the empty homes or the empty buildings. We don't need no new building. We need to put the buildings, including the government buildings we already have that are empty, to use. And we need to put the people in those buildings. Some of you may be familiar with the challenge some members of Congress and CEOs have taken on, trying to live off of food stamps, some less than $5 a day. I want the people here who oppose R2-D2 to try living on the street for at least a week. Yeah. And I hope that they... And I hope that they can escape the possible rape, the possible assault, the possible robbing, the possibilities of being jumped or even beat or even harassed by police officers in this city. These are the dangers that living on the street are real. These are real dangers that living on the street brings. I want them to see if they can escape that and live through that. A liquor store was brought up here in the Pearl. That liquor store is not only one of the busiest, it's also more one of the expensive. And I don't know if you know this, but the houseless community doesn't necessarily have enough money to go into one of the most expensive liquor stores in the damn city. Real quick, some of the success that has been brought in up for Right2D2, it not only has housed people and helped people get jobs, it lets people sleep in numbers. It's drug-free. It's weapon-free. And here's a quote for all you Pearlies that came out today. Go to Right to Dream 2's website. Look at their love notes and look at their other sections. Here's a quote I have pulled off. They have more comprehensive strategy for preventing sexual assault within the community than any church I've ever been in. And people want to talk about how women may be scared. People want to talk about how women may be scared to go around there. I would feel safer sleeping there than anywhere else. Listening to all these bougie white people has made me want to rewrite my notes over and over and over again. And I can't even begin to touch on all the different idiotic, ideological differences that have been brought up. And to the people here in support of the Pearl that felt it was necessary to point, laugh, and judge the homeless people who have the courage to testify, simply, you're a shitty human, and you don't deserve to live here. And that's all.
Sir, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm Marco Lampson, for the record. I'll try to keep it short. I just want to say kind of two things majorly. One is just Right to Dream 2 is a very, very successful model. I think for politicians in a progressive city, I think by attacking this model, I think you're actually doing yourself a really big disservice. This model has been extremely cheap and efficient. It's done an extremely good job about connecting people to resources, connecting people to jobs, giving them enough place to sleep or rest where they can get their stuff together and be able to move forward in their lives. Now, in contrast, like I said, it was very efficient in cost. So we're talking maybe about $15,000, $20,000 if you want to count the lawsuit, comparatively to the $47 million that you invested into the Bud Clark. And the stories that have been continuously coming out of the Bud Clark for people who work in the houseless community or have been houseless themselves, it's the question of investment. If you're really going to be efficient with city funds, $47 million into a project comparatively to $15,000 into a project, and which one has been more successful at helping people and really turning people's lives around, I think it's something to really value. The second thing is less actually addressed to you all because less directed at you all, but I think I've been hearing class warfare brought up a couple of times, and I think it's embarrassing for me to hear class warfare talked to from Pearl District residents in condos to talk to houseless people about the class warfare that they're doing, that these houseless people are doing to these residents, hypothetically. The idea that taking, the houseless community, one of the most dispossessed, one of the most powerless communities in Portland right now, was able to scrap its resources together and to produce a model that works, 2 years of it working. That is class warfare because they want to then move that location underneath the bridge. That is ridiculous to me in context to the class warfare that I would see where you're saying 1% of your, you know, of the your rental is going to go down. 1% of your property value is going to go down if there's a houseless tent city next to you. hypothetically, 1% or 2% of your the amount of total money that you're going to lose on this. And you're saying you're really, those folks are quantifying it to me, that that money is worth that amount of loss of life. When you have people publicly state up here, like, I've been beat twice in 2 weeks, and Right to Survive is the only, Right to Dream is the only thing that has done it because all the rest of the houses, it is literally like when folks from the Pearl talk really specifically about how their property values are going up based on, you know, like the houseless people, and at the same time you hear narratives coming out of our communities that say we're dying on the streets. When you say money is worth it more so than those people dying, that is class warfare to me. It's not our people. I'll keep it short. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Cobb, and I have sat here for the last few hours hearing the most privileged members of Portland talk about property values to people who have no property. Now, Right to Dream 2 is a group of houseless people who have self-organized to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, which I thought was what poor people were supposed to do according to your ideology. But now you're taking away their boots. Now, I don't necessarily think that Pearl District is the best place for them. After all, if I were a member of Right to Dream 2, I wouldn't want to move down to such lousy neighbors. But I think they're fine where they are. I think they'd be much better in, you know, the multiple empty houses that they could easily live in if this capitalist system hadn't screwed them out of it. Now, yes, this is a temporary solution, as is any solution within the capitalist system. The people of the Pearl District who always want to find some other compromise want to find a compromise that doesn't insult their class privilege. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, "As you've done unto the least of my brethren, you do unto me." I think that'd be good to keep in mind for those who worship Mammon. Now, I just want to say that I don't have any faith that any long-term solution can be reached through this process. But this I do believe. One day, a day of reckoning will come when the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And you're damn right that's class warfare, because class is warfare.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Judith Beck, and I'm a senior, an honored citizen. I'm 73 years old. I've lived in Portland for 12 and a half years, and I want to speak out of compassion and love, acceptance for all the people who are here today who have been giving testimony, in gratitude, because I'm a white, privileged woman who never slept on the street, who's never been hungry. I have everything I need. I've lived in the Pearl. And I know that in the building I lived in, one of the buildings I lived in, the 10th at Hoyt, there was a homeless woman living on my floor. I've never taken in anybody off the street, but a man took her in. I don't know why. Maybe. Maybe not. I have friends who are homeless. They're out on the street. They've slept in the rain. The gentleman has gone to the OHSU emergency room any number of times because he's so sick and disabled. They go to the different services that people say we have in Portland that are going to hard draw for the homeless. And they can never get any money. None of the agencies have any more money left. They don't have any more money to help them with electric bills. And this couple that I know who live on the street did have a room. They were being exploited for $500 plus a month for a room on a third floor walk-up I was there, I saw it. There's exploitation going on here in this city. Of course, a camp, a rest area is not a permanent solution. But we have to do the Band-Aids as well as the systemic change. We need both ends. To put out a either-or solution, suggestion, choice, no, both ends. Long-term systemic solution so everyone has a shelter, a real house to live in, a real home to live in. But in the meantime, Dignity Village, Right to Dream 2, we need these. Tomorrow's the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. When his father challenged him to give up his God ways, I guess, Francis threw his clothes off and said, "Goodbye, Dad," and walked out onto the street, naked and homeless. That's what he did. And tomorrow's his feast day. So may he bless us and lead us to make the best decision we can make in this present situation. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. Got a couple more people signed up? Okay.
We have James Bazell the second, Harley Wilford, Trillium Shannon, Alvin Taylor.
Good evening.
Some people may be upstairs too.
Okay.
If you've signed up, come on down.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. My name's Harley Wilford. Me and my wife, Lisa Mazzotti, are two of those people that were helped from Right to Dream 2 and did get housing.
And,
Sure. And now we're both students. And we're living proof that this actually works. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about how we deserve better than tents. I agree. I also know before all these cowards got up and left because they got their shots in, a lot of these people that are in this room actually owned a lot of those empty buildings. And none of them actually said, you know, I'd rather you live in one of my empty buildings than live in my backyard. They all agreed that that would have been better, but they didn't want us to live in one of their buildings either, even though they're not making any money off of those buildings because they're empty. So you have those people who pretend to be decent human beings. And then you have these other people who are decent enough to hate us openly. And that's exactly what this is. If someone said, "I don't want black people moving into my neighborhood because it'll bring down the property values," you wouldn't be sympathizing with them at all. No sane person would even admit that they're sympathizing with them, even if they did. But when you say, "I don't want homeless people in my area," well, everyone's like, "Well, I don't want homeless people in my area either." Until you are homeless yourself, and then you're like, "Well, I'm not going to be one of those homeless people." And then you end up being one of those homeless people, because all homeless people don't have access to a shower or a place to keep their clothes. If you're homeless, you're going to stink. If you're homeless, you're going to be hairy. You're not going to be pretty if you're homeless. And guess what? If you sleep in sub-zero weather and the rain, eventually you'll figure out that if you sleep drunk, you're likely to go to sleep at all. If you don't, you'll probably spend weeks without any sleep. So all these stereotypes you make up about the homeless, there's a reason they're like that. And it could happen to anyone who loses their damn job.
Thank you.
Hello. I don't know. Well, first off, I'm James. This is the other second. I don't know what I wanted to say. It's a few things I do want to say, though. To the Pearl District people that want to sit here and say we should bring a halt to it because they want to help us, in my opinion, you wasn't thinking of us for not one second before all this went down. So y'all just need to go ahead and just shh and back up and let us do what we've been doing for the last 2 years. because we didn't need your help then and we don't need your help now, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say that. We don't do no wrong where we at, you know, and as far as alcoholics, just like that lady said, who going to go into a liquor store that's the most expensive one in the city and we ain't got enough to buy us a dang pouch of rolling tobacco for $2, you know, let alone enough to buy a $15 bottle of vodka. You know, it don't make no sense. You know, as far as businesses, it's okay. I'll continue to spend all the money that I spend at the food carts and at Dante's Pizza, and I won't give y'all none of my money. I have no problem doing that. I can be greedy just like y'all can. You know, like, I have no problem doing that. And, I mean, all of us are good people. You know, we got people to wash windows. We got people that work part-time at Saturday Market. I ride a pedicab. I mean, I pedal either your brother or your sister or your mother or your grandmother up and down hills all day. But yet, we're the bad people. No, y'all the bad people. Take a look in the mirror and really look at yourselves, because that's ridiculous. And I guarantee you more than half of y'all is religious. And in every single religion, you're supposed to help the homeless. You're supposed to help the people that ain't got nothing. Jesus did it. I don't understand what's so hard about that concept for y'all to understand. You know, put your hand out and help us up. Don't put it in your pocket and look down at us. That's it.
Good evening. My name is Trillium Shannon. I'm a co-founder and a board member of Right to Dream 2. And first of all, I just want to say I am incredibly proud of all the dreamers who came out today, and all the dreamers who have been doing the work they do. They do really hard work, and I think somebody had mentioned that Right to Dream 2 has been able to reach some folks who haven't been able to find that help, and there's people who have gotten into housing who thought they were going to spend the rest of their lives on the street. We have a lot of elderly members of Right to Dream 2. Many of them are starting to get into housing or have already gotten in housing. But, you know, so when you talk about vulnerable elderly folks, that are some of our members are those people. And some of them did go to Station's Place to speak to people and to reach out a hand and say, don't worry, you know, like to calm those fears a bit. And I think that's what we'll continue to do. It's kind of hard to sit in a room where people are saying things that are hurtful. And I think that it can cause some reactionary sort of statements coming out. And you have to understand that. Like, it's hard when your community is being attacked. But then on the other hand, I'm really happy and thrilled to be sitting here today. And actually, after 2 years, and many more than 2 years, but 2 years with Right to Dream 2, coming to City Hall and talking about the realities and having people talk about their firsthand experiences, to be heard and to be here so that you can hopefully vote yes on a resolution that will get Right to Dream 2 to a place where we are sanctioned as a service. We are a community service. It's plain to see, and that's exactly the right classification for what Right to Dream 2 does. So there's lots more to say. I know we'll have lots of conversations to come in the future. I just commend you all for being here, for doing what you're doing, for listening to us, and we have a lot of work to do. So Right to Dream 2 is not the answer. It's just one of the stepping stones along the way. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next are Alvin Taylor, Lisa Mazzetti, Benjamin, Grant Swanson, and we'll go with Charles Johnson then.
Hi. Good evening. Go ahead.
Hello. My name's Lisa Mazzotti. Now, of course, you know about me because my fiance Harley, you just spoke. Well, I never thought we were going to be out in the streets. And early 2012, Harley lost his mom because she was having issues with her life. And we had nowhere to go. We had nobody to support us. I never thought, you know, that we were going to have to relocate from my beautiful home in Colorado just so we can survive. When we first came here to Portland, our original intention was to go to Dignity Village to live, and it's far out near the airport. We didn't have no bus fare, no nothing, and we came to Right to Dream 2. When we became members at Right to Dream 2, that was the first time I felt safe. I felt like, finally, there's hope. Finally, there's a place where we can try to better our lives. Like Carly said, we're both currently students. He just started school, and I started my first term of college at Right to Dream 2. It was hard, but I got through it, and it's just, look at the humanity side of it. Forget about the politics. There's people out there who are trying to actually better their lives who are actually homeless. There may be a lot of people that represent the bad population of homelessness, but that's not all true. And I would like to thank you, Amanda Fritz, and Mr. Mayor Charlie Hales, for actually taking this issue into consideration. I haven't been able to talk to both of you since, of course, we're housed, but I really appreciate that you guys have actually taken some thought into giving Right to Dream 2 a life and making sure they can help people for maybe many years to come. We never know. But thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, and thank you so much for having evening testimony tonight. My name is Grant Swanson. I work at the library. It was our staff day today, so it was. I was glad I was able to come down and testify today. In addition to working at the library, I was the vice president of the Multnomah County, and I'm a current board member of Right to Dream 2. And what I'm so excited about with this move under the bridge is the possibility of creating more rest areas and more locations throughout the city and throughout the community. And I have heard from a lot of people that this isn't a permanent solution, and I agree, it's not. People need homes, need stable environment, but in different communities throughout the city, I've worked at Rockwood Library, I've worked in other parts of the city where there are some services, and everywhere I go, there are communities of homeless people. And this model that was kind of tried in other communities for a while and then brought down here is a really good, really viable model. And it, as you've heard from many people tonight, it has worked for them and has got them up into a stable place where they can prosper and get onto the next stage in life. And even when there are people who are able to get out of this, there are always people falling back into it. We spoke of the federal employees that are out of work. Likely, most of them will go back to their jobs. They'll likely get reinstated pay. But they might not. And as the wages of jobs in the U.S. keep getting driven down lower and lower, there's going to be more and more need for communities to come together to be able to create a new type of safety net, one that isn't mandated from the top but is grown up from the grassroots. And that's what Right to Dream 2 has done. And I applaud you all for considering this model as a viable option to just having no model and for outlawing homelessness, houselessness. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Benjamin Barber, and I've come to give you what I think are good ideas and not complain or give anecdotes. If reducing houselessness is, the goal for everyone, I think that we all need to recognize that people need to have scaffolded supports as well as stability. And I believe the city as well as the county has opportunities to help this along. Some of my experience has been with the local maker spaces and hacker spaces to teach skills to kids at Portland Public Schools, and I know that we'll be having some money for those schools. I believe that maybe some funding for capital in Benson High and increasing enrollment there may help individuals gain skills towards employment, and you can help amortize those costs by offering those services to people who are without homes and need to have those basic skills trained to them. Furthermore, I know that Bud Clark Commons was used to reduce houselessness, but my experience in Southeast Asia after the tsunami was that that is the most expensive way and least effective way of delivering stability to those people. I believe that we have some assets in the county, in the city, that can actually help. I'm aware that the Wapato County Jail has not been used for close to 10 years. I'm not sure what the current plans are for that, but perhaps that property can be used to provide stability for people that have medical or psychological issues that need to take time. Furthermore, I'm not sure if you ever heard of tiny houses. They're relatively cheap. And the only other property that I know that could accommodate a large number of houseless people perhaps is the now empty open reservoirs at Mount Tabor, and fill them with proper electrical, sewage, and tiny houses, and maybe sell them back to FEMA if they're not needed any longer. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks.
My name is Jim Chassie. Oh, no, that's not right. That's a mentally ill man that was killed by the police in the Pearl District. My name is Charles Johnson, and you know that because I've spoken before you before. We have a lot of good things going on in Portland. I'm going to move over to the other microphone.
Yes, please. We're going to get rid of that thing.
To bring it, it's alive. I'll be back next week to make sure it's gone. We have a lot of good things going on in the Pearl and around the entire town. One of those things that's good in Portland is journalism. I'm partial to Mr. Thoreau over there, but we also have Wendy Culverwell. She brings us some good information, too. And people who are here in this room should think about what they're doing, not just here, but when they go out and when they spend their dollars. They should talk to people who are involved with Hoyt Street Realty. And for people who don't have money to spend with Hoyt Street Realty, you might have time. If you're homeless, we're allowed to sleep on the curbs. You might sleep on the curb in front of a Hoyt Street property because they don't want you under the under the Broadway Bridge. You might think about Zeba Design and Greg Close. They have a strong opinion. I don't know. I wasn't able to be here for all the testimony, but I don't know if they shared that. But I'm sure they think their opinions and ideas are very important, so we want to make sure that that gets mentioned. One thing that has not been mentioned and is underrepresented is PDC, Portland Development Commission. We know they have many other properties that could be put to community use designation. We know that we're not using the big Overthrow parking lot that sits right south of Bud Clark Commons next to the Greyhound station. And I hope that concerned developers will, who benefited from PDC real estate deals, will just back off, let R2D2 have this space, and then be more assertive at moving the PDC in a direction that gets more low-income housing in this very stressed rental market. Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you. Carlo, you have any others?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Thank you all. I think we have some further work by the city attorney to bring forward. Is that right? There you go.
Okay. Just very one minor thing to recommend to you. You received a memo dated October 2nd from Rebecca Esau. It addresses one section of the city code that Ms. White has challenged as lacking discussion in the zoning confirmation letter. My recommendation to you would be to amend the zoning confirmation letter to include Rebecca's discussion beginning with the paragraphs below the heading additional information on page 1 and continuing through the end on page 2. And I would add that
copies of that, Catherine?
Pardon me?
Do you have copies to hand out?
I have my one copy that I can give to the council clerk.
We can put one before the clerk for now and then take it up later.
And I would add it to section 2D of the zoning confirmation letter after the first paragraph on page 10.
Okay. Why don't we just leave that with the clerk for now, and obviously we'll be making that publicly available. Any other questions for staff? So let me reflect a little bit on this, what I believe has been an excellent public discussion. I know there's been a great deal of passionate concern here.